Well, praise the Lord. I remember 8 years ago when we first came here, a young man that named Ben Pearson, who I believe was just getting out of junior high, going into high school in that year, and just a happy guy, always. And I started to say when he was little, I never knew him little. I'm not sure anyone did. I mean, he's tall and just a big guy. And but the thing about Ben, I've been thinking a lot about him. The word that comes to my mind is consistency. Ben's just—he's just always the same. He's just—he's got that smile on his face. Ben, I remember when he went through and came to my office and counseled with me about, the typical things of a teenager and the kids, everybody's wanting to do this and that and Ben just always did right. He just I can't say he always did right. I don't know about a lot of wrong that he did. Let's put it that way. And I'm just so proud of Ben. Ben just graduated from Crown College. That is so hard to believe. That's done. I mean, it's over. I know he's probably in shock, but just because it's over, and he's moving forward, and he'll tell you about some of his plans. But I wanted Ben to preach to us tonight. I know it'll be a blessing. I want you to listen carefully and let God speak to your heart, Brother Ben. You come.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. It's a privilege to preach. I just graduated from Crown, and kind of it's amazing how things worked out. I ended up, as of the Sunday before graduation, I wasn't sure what I was doing for the summer, but I came in contact with a preacher in Florida who needed some help for the summer, and I'm planning on going down there on Memorial Day. We'll fly down and be doing all kinds of stuff. One of the main things he's trying to do is he's trying to knock 5,000 doors for the summer. He's a Pastor Tom Odom of the First Baptist Church of Cooper City, Florida. What it is it's a suburb of, basically it's Fort Lauderdale, which is, if you know anything about Southwest Florida, it's all runs together. There's people everywhere. So Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Key West, great area, great opportunity. So if you pray for that for me, and if you have your Bibles, turn with them, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll get into what the Lord has for us tonight. We'll start our reading. We'll start in verse 11 just to get the context. And the Bible says, or I'm sorry, you don't want 11. Verse, that'd be a lot to read. You want verse 22. Yeah, but I know that you're, we don't want to make you fall asleep there. So, all right, the Bible says, in verse 22 of Matthew 14, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." The disciples, obviously, we all know the story, we've heard it a lot. But the disciples had a problem. They had a big problem. Now, notice, we know, of course, that they were fishermen. They had spent most of their lives up to this point on the sea, the lake here. And they, I'm sure, were used to storms, I'm sure. But this one was different, because these men, who were seasoned fishermen, some of them, were afraid. They were scared to death. They had come to the point where they have no options. Life is a series of unexpected events. You don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, but God knows. God was bringing them to the point where they would have an understanding of who He is. Let's look at how this journey began. Because I believe that God has something for each and every one of us. Because I know God's doing something in our country this time. And God wants to do something through us so that others will see us, see Him. But we'll pray and ask the Lord to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You for the opportunity to preach. What a blessing it is, Father. Father, I pray, though, that You would be with me. I pray that I would only say what You would have me to say. I pray that I would be filled with Your Spirit. I pray that You'd be with me. I ask this in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice first that Jesus constrained them. That was how their journey began. They, of course, we see in verse 22, of course, they just come from the feeding of the 5,000. If you look in the verses above this, you see that the people wanted to take Jesus and make Him their king. They wanted to take Him by force. Of course, I'm sure the disciples were, they were all in this. Of course, we know, we've read the Bible, we've seen the Gospels. The disciples did not get it. What did Jesus do? He said, He constrained them, the Bible says. He said, basically, He forced them to get in the boat. He told them, get in the boat, go to the other side. Notice that when they got in the boat, it wasn't for their problem, it was for their good. Jesus Christ allows us to go through things sometimes, knowing full well what we will go through, knowing that we must do something for Him. He sends us into the storm sometimes. But He does not send us into the storm without knowing, without having a purpose for it. He puts us through the storm so that we will do God's will. I want you to see first, the Bible says the disciples faced great opposition. The Bible says, I'm sure if you've read it here, the Bible talks about how the wind was contrary to them. Of course, the wind was blowing. In another passage, it says that they were toiling and rowing. When it seems like the circumstances are against you, and you don't know how you will go on, take heart, for you are right in the center of God's will. The disciples were used to wind, but this was greater than anything they had faced before. When the opposition grows great, God is greater. Not only did the disciples face opposition, the Bible says, I see it clearly, that the disciples saw little progress. And so many times we think that. We say, I'm in the same boat. I'm fighting the same battle, the same problem that I faced 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I see it. They were in the midst of the sea. They'd been toiling all night and seemed to be getting nowhere. Sometimes the end of the trial seems so far away. The disciples had to be nearing the point of no return. They were coming to a place where they would wonder whether or not they had the ability to continue. They undoubtedly wondered whether or not they could keep going or not. When you're there, know you're in God's will. The disciples felt great turbulence. The Bible says that they were in the midst of the sea and was tossed with waves. They were in great distress. Have you been there? Have you felt like God was turning your world upside down? No matter what, God was there and God is there. Of course, in their mind, I'm sure they were asking themselves, where was Jesus? Notice, though, where He was, the Bible tells us. In verse 20, in 23, it says, and He went up unto a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, He was there alone. I remind you that the Bible tells us that we have a high priest who is praying for us, interceding for us. What an amazing thought that is. He was praying for them. The Bible, though, tells us in Mark 6:48, in the other passage where we find that He saw them. When you're going through trial, when you're going through testing, He sees you. He knows what's going on. He hasn't forgotten you. And the greatest thing of all, and I think this is what is most important, is He went to them. Just when you think you can't go any further, that is when God comes to us. He came to them walking on the sea. He proved to them His power and glory. How did the disciples respond to the Lord when He came? Well, they responded the way most of us would. They cried out in fear. They said, "Is this a spirit?" But straightway, and notice not only the constraining, we see the calling. When you're at your weakest, God calls to you. The disciples had reached the limit of their human strength. And then Jesus came to them. God comes to us when we can go no further. Because He wants us to see that it is not us, it is Him. But notice the call of Jesus. We see that it was a call of comfort. And it wasn't so much in what He said, but it was in His presence. Jesus Christ is a comfort to us because of who He is more than anything He's done. We know Jesus Christ is good. We know He is honorable. He will do what's right by us and for us. The disciples were afraid, but Jesus simply reminded them of who He is. The comfort we receive comes from a knowledge of the person of God. When we know who God is, we remember that He will not abandon us. He will not let us go through the storms alone. I'm glad that Jesus spoke comfort to them, but I'm even more glad that He speaks comfort to me. But it wasn't just a call of comfort. It was a call of challenge. Peter responded, what did he say? Of course, Peter said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come out unto Thee." Of course, Peter's always the one that speaks. But Peter had faith. What did he say? What did the Lord tell him to do? He said, "Come." He called him to come. The Lord didn't scold Peter. He simply told him to come. The Lord calls out to Peter to do what Peter knew was impossible. But that did not faze Peter. We know Peter didn't step out on water. He stepped out on the Word. Because God had told him to come. And he did it. So he came. Of course, it didn't stay that way. Peter learned a lot. He would learn a lot. This is the lesson Peter wanted to learn. The Lord wanted Peter to learn what He could do with him and without him. Because the moment Peter got his eyes off the Lord, the moment he took his eyes off Christ, he began to sink. And he cried out. Nothing will change our focus like a crisis. Peter's eyes may have been in the wrong place, but as soon as he began to sink, they were right back where they belonged. He looked to the one who had called him and the only one who could save him. We have to ask ourselves, when we don't know what's going on, where our eyes have been. All too many times, we put them on the wrong thing. But his cry was a cry of focus. It was a cry of urgency. He needed God. And right now, there are people all around us who need God. Whether they know it or not, they need God. Some of us here are going through things that will tell our neighbors, that will tell our friends and the people we work with that there truly is a God in heaven. Peter's call was a call of necessity. He needed the Lord to hear him. The Lord was his only hope. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know where to turn, turn to the Lord. When you don't have any other options, call on the Lord. Peter cried out, not in fear, but in faith. And God will catch you when you cry out to Him for help. Of course, that brings us to the catching. And this is the most amazing part. What did he do? Of course, the Bible says, the wind was boisterous. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. Jesus caught Peter. He reached out and grabbed Peter where he was and pulled him up. And then he scolds him gently. But Jesus, when Jesus scolds, He scolds gently, doesn't He? And He says, sorry, my page turned. And then He says, "Wherefore, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And this is really the greatest point of what's going on, what happens to the disciples. The disciples, they were watching all this, I'm sure. I'm sure they were standing there. They saw it all. I'm sure they were thinking, oh boy, Peter's done it again. He stuck his foot out. I'm sure as he's saying, Lord, bid me come, Peter, he's getting ready to come. Oh, you know, Andrew's there and John's there. And they said, Peter, what are you doing? Don't step out into the water. It's a storm. You're going to die, Peter. They saw it. They were there. Your friends, your loved ones, people in this church, someone's bidding you to do something. If God tells you to step out, do it. Amen. The only answer to what God wants us to do is yes. But they're there. They watch. They watch as Peter takes that step. And he starts to walk. Whoa. Are you seeing this? Simon, are you seeing this? Andrew, are you seeing this? And then Peter started to get his eyes off the Lord. He started to sink. And of course, I'm sure. And of course, this is all happening almost split second, maybe. But they're saying, Peter, he's going down. Maybe one of them said, I knew this would happen. Peter does it all the time. He gets his foot stuck in his mouth. He just does it. It's just Peter. It's what he does. And they're thinking, what's going to happen to Peter now? Well, then Peter says, Lord, save me. And the Lord does. Amen. But what do? The disciples come and worshiped him. They said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. And that's what God wants to happen in our lives. He wants us to come to the place where we put our faith and our dependency on him. When we see, people see that this person is trusting God. This person has joy in the midst of tribulation. This person is loving people, even though he goes through the things that, how does he do it? Because God's good. And they come and they worshiped him. The Bible says in Psalm 84, the Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You say, well, this is something I need. This is something that I don't understand. No good thing. You say, well, why has this happened? I don't know. But the storm was meant to happen to these disciples. The trial that you go through, I don't know what it is. It was meant to happen for you. But no good thing will he withhold. In his good time, he breaks through. He will. He promised it. He will not let us go through the storm alone. When the disciples set on their way across the lake, they had no idea what God had in store for them. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew God would be with them. It doesn't matter what you face in life. If you are following God, you will be okay. God was glorified through the storm. And at the end of the day, the disciples were okay because they were following the Lord. Following Christ will bring you to places you don't expect. It's part of life. It's part of the Christian life. But if when you are following Christ, you are okay. What is he leading you to do tonight? I don't know. But chances are you know. Peter followed Christ's leading. Will you? If you have every head bowed, eyes closed, turn over to Pastor.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Maybe you're in that storm. I know many here tonight. You would say, yes, I'm the one. I'm in the storm. I'm in the storm. I'm being tossed around. Not sure what's going to happen. Maybe you're the one Jesus is saying, come to me. Come out here. Come on, take that step of faith. Maybe you're the one that did, and then you get your eyes off of him. Let me ask you, what are your eyes on? What are they on instead of him? I know a lot of ways God could speak to you tonight. I wonder how many would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart tonight. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Father, we do love you and thank you so much for your word. And thank you for, Lord, the truth that is there. Thank you for the storms, but also that you're there with us in the midst of the storm. Thank you that you are our intercessor. And God, that you love us. And that at just our cry, you're always there to immediately stretch forth your hand and help us out. Help us not to be of little faith, Lord. Help us not to doubt. And Lord, strengthen our faith, I pray. Bless the invitation. Help us with the decisions we need to make, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Everyone standing. We're in 331, 331. Wherever he leads, I'll go. God, speak into your heart as we sing. If you need to make a decision tonight, you come. Wherever he leads, I'll go. 331.
I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee, surrender.